Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
I'm your host, Don McGuire. Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. Let's go ahead and jump on deck here and get Bobby Nash a call.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Bobby, this is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you a few times when you called, but now I can.
Okay, well, we're live on the air, so, you know, first and foremost, thank you for taking a day out of your life, and especially on a holiday, to join my show. I truly appreciate that. You know, Bobby, looking at your career, I think we got back connection here, don't we?
Yeah, we just had a bad connection. I'm sorry, man. Very, oh, my God. I'm in a very, very bad area right now. There's a lot going on. But I can talk. Can you hear me? Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, sir. You know, let's go ahead and jump in while I can hear you. You know, coming July 16th, you're set to face Danny Roberts, UFC fight at 113. What does this fight mean to Bobby Nash?
Oh, it's a very important fight. You know, Danny Roberts is really tough. I had a UFC, my UFC debut was a few months ago, and I lost. So this is a big, important fight in order to show that I belong in the UFC. It's a very, very important fight to me. I've had a long time to prepare for it, and I'm super excited to show what I'm all about July 16th.
I feel you there, you know, and... You know, one thing, when one looks at your record, one thing that, you know, kind of complexed me is you've had a lot of canceled bouts. Would you say that's played a certain role or an aspect in training camps and making things harder to get, you know, focused when you have so many cancellations in such a short, you know, period of time, sir?
Well, you know, it's definitely helped me get ready. You know, I was always training for fights. And me being a college wrestler and fighting, a lot of my canceled fights were when I was on a regional seed. Now I was a college wrestler, so it was really hard to match me up. So, but, you know, I always trained and always came ready. So even though I had people pull out and cancel on me, I still was able to, you know, train hard and develop. I still got a lot better during those fight camps.
Yes, sir. You know, now a good buddy of ours brought us together, and you know, in this interview, and that being Josh Lawrence, so much appreciation to him. The other thing that I found tremendously great about you is you're a Michigan State man. You know, the greatest wrestlers in the world either come out of Michigan or Ohio. And, you know, who was Bobby Nash, the young athlete?
Well, as an athlete, you know, I've been wrestling since I was 5 years old. You know, from there, I wrestled in high school. I was a four-time state qualifier. My senior year, I won a high school state champion, going 62-1 as a senior. Ended up going wrestling in college at Michigan State, the Big Ten, which is the toughest conference in the country. Had the pleasure of wrestling in the Big Ten. From there, I still had that drive to compete after college wrestling. So I started doing some amateur fights. Went 14-0 as an amateur, and now I'm a pro fighter and I'm in the UFC.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of tremendous. I you know, you kind of are reminiscent of a little bit of Joe Warren, you know, and I've had him on the show a multitude of times. And you look at the heart of the sport, and in reality, you know, it's either you've got a wrestler, you know, you've got somebody that's a boxer, and then you combine it, of course, you get the sport of mixed martial arts. What was it that you loved so much about wrestling, Bobby, that kept you defined? Because I had Adam DeSavito on my show, and he said one thing about wrestlers that you need to know is they look at the world in a whole different aspect. You look at BJJ practitioners. They pay for their belts. He said in wrestling, we earn it by blood, sweat, and tears. Would you say that's
literally
a good analogy? Well, how does Bobby Nash look at that?
Well, the way I look at it, I mean, I love one-on-one competition, and I love wrestling. The thing about, I played football and other team sports, and the thing about if you lose in football, well, your team lost. If you lose in wrestling, just you lost. You don't have a team. You have no one to blame on. It's all you. It's a very humbling sport. You're going against another man, as in martial arts, and if he beats you, he's a better man than you. So it's a very humbling sport, and there's nothing like wrestling another man, and it's so much hard work. I think wrestlers are some of the toughest human beings in the world, especially college wrestlers at that.
A tremendous friend of mine, also that is a great wrestler, is Daniel Cormier. You know, you look back to UFC 200 when John Jones pulled out, and a lot of people ridiculed him because they said all he did was lay on his opponent the whole fight. Well, duh, if you're there to capture a W, then it doesn't matter how you get it, as long as you get that W. And that's what people don't understand. You know, Bobby, when you look at the sport, You were a tremendous wrestler, and then at one point in time in your life, like you stated, you decided to step into the sport of mixed martial arts. You know, who encouraged you to take that step, son?
Well, you know, I always watched MMA and UFC growing up, and when I was a college wrestler, I was noticing guys like Matt Hughes and Johnny Hendricks and all these guys who I watched wrestle when I was a kid doing mixed martial arts. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, they're having a lot of success with it. So I kind of dabbled with it a little bit and played around with it, and I had a lot of success and had a lot of fun. So it started off me just being a fan and watching a lot of college wrestlers do well, and it just kind of gave me the desire to pick it up myself.
Yeah. Now you look at this fight with Danny Roberts, and, you know, you kind of put a little bit of complexity into it yourself. You said you made your UFC debut. I can't even talk tonight. Your UFC debut, and you were taught a lesson. And you know, what lesson did you take away from that, Bobby, going into this next fight against Danny Roberts?
The lesson I learned is being patient. You know, I went out there and I pretty much came out like a bat out of hell, man. I went out there and I had a tremendous first round. I dropped Li Xingliang in the first round. Had him hurt early in the second round. But the thing is, I was just so amped and pumped up and going 100 miles an hour that I started gassing really bad. I think I started having an adrenaline dump. I think that's what ultimately cost me the fight. I think this fight, what I learned from there to here, you're going to see me a lot more poised, me taking my time, me being a lot more patient, picking my shots, and, you know, just being more comfortable, you know, fighting on a big stage. So that's something I took from it is, you know, just be patient, be relaxed in there, and pick my shots, and, just don't blow my wad, you know?
Yeah, you know, I watched that fight because it, you know, when I look, and you just do any sort of research on you, it shows up the fifth best MMA fight of the year for 2017. And, you know, it says profound words about it. You know, a lot of people look at fights and they go, well, you know, I lost, and they're down on themselves about it. But like I stated earlier, I look at it as a lesson learned in life. You know, Bobby, this fight can ultimately be one of the biggest steps in your MMA career, you know, should you come out
without a doubt. Yes.
You know, what do you feel that Danny Roberts can bring to UFC Fight Night 113 and bring to Nasty Bobby Nash?
What do I expect for him to bring to me?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know he's also coming off a loss, and he's coming off a fight of the night. My fight was fight of the night. His fight was fight of the night. We're both very high-action fighters, and he's coming off a loss, and I'm coming off a loss. So we're obviously both very hungry. We both want to win. So I know he's going to come with a lot of heart. I know he's got really good striking and stand-up. So I expect just a high pace, in-your-face, war. I expect the best Danny Roberts that's ever stepped foot in the cage when I fight him in Scotland. But one thing that I am certain about is I will be the best Bobby Nash that ever stepped foot in the octagon, period, that day, and I plan on putting him away. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be an action-packed fight.
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous fight. You know, one thing that I got to ask, and I know you probably get to ask this 1,000 times, but, you know, where did the nickname Nasty come from? Because, bro, I do love the nickname, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they call me Nasty Nash. You know, when I was wrestling, you know, I'd always hit some slick moves, and everybody, oh, that's nasty. And then it kind of just went like, went on to Nasty. So my last name is Nash, just add the T-Y, Nasty. I'd always hit nasty takedowns. So it just kind of, you know, stuck. And my Twitter handle is BNasty, and, you know, it just sticks. Got the Nash, got the Nasty. I go in there and I fight Nasty, you know.
Yeah. You know, I lived in Oscoda, Michigan, and Michigan's a beautiful state. How hard was it for Bobby Nash, the young man, to leave the state of Michigan to pursue his dreams?
It was tough, man. I have a huge following here. I have my family out here, my girlfriend's here. I do leave Albuquerque a lot to train. However, I train in fused martial arts as well. I have Don Richard as a coach. I have Miles Drury, who's a training partner. We train about every day. I have Josh Brookner, Marco Smallman, some guys that are up-and-comers in the pro ranks. So I train a lot in Michigan, too. So my base is actually – I've actually based my camp in Michigan. However, I do train a lot in Albuquerque. And, you know, it's tough because, you know, I don't really want to leave home, but I understand sometimes I have to get, you know, those different looks and those high-level training partners.
Yeah. Well, when you get a chance, tell Miles Drury that Don McGuire said hello. You know, it truly is a small world that you're affiliated
Who?
With Miles. That's kind of cool, bro. I like that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah. Yeah, me and Miles hang out all the time. He's a great guy.
Yeah, tremendous guy, to be quite honest with you. You know, Bobby, when you look at what you do for a living, and, you know, we talked about earlier, you got started in wrestling at the age of 5. You made the transition into the sport of mixed martial arts. At that point in time when you made that transition, and, you know, what were your parents take on their son stepping up into such a, you know, a warrior-like sport?
Well, my mom and dad always knew I was a competitor. Since I was a kid, since I was 5 years old, I always wanted to be the best wrestler. I wrestled in college. So when I picked up fighting, I don't think it was a surprise to them. However, when I went pro, after I graduated from college, I went pro and I talked to my parents and said, hey, Mom, Dad, this is what I want to do for a career. I think they were taken back quite a bit. You know, they were like, oh, you sure? You know, you went to college, you have a degree. And I know my dad was a little, my mom was a little more supportive about it. My dad was worried, you know, because, I mean, like, I'm fighting for a career. It's a difficult path to take. So he was a little worried about it, but, you know, I kept trucking along. They were extremely supportive, and now that I'm in the UFC, they're full for it. They're like, okay, we see how hard you work. We see, you know, the potential you have, and now they're all on board and, you know, extremely supportive. I lived with my parents after I was done graduating in college. You know, I went full-time MMA, and, you know, the money was tight. It was a financial struggle, but I lived with my parents, and, you know, they were extremely supportive.
You know, Bobby, getting into the UFC is a lot of fighters' dream, and, you know, to be quite honest with you, only the maybe top 2-3% of the sport actually make it into the UFC. So when you got that first initial phone call on your last fight, what did that mean to Bobby Nash?
So, you know, since I first went pro in martial arts, my goal was to fight in the UFC, was to be a UFC champion, be a world champion. So when I got that call, I called my parents, I called my brothers, I called my girlfriend, and I told them all. And I was just so happy because I know all my hard work that I put in is going to pay off. You know, I put countless hours in the gym, and, you know, it was paying off. And anyone who's in the UFC, I mean, we're working hard. This is a full-time job. We put our heart and soul into this, and as did I. So it was just a humbling experience, and, you know, I was extremely grateful, and I'm still extremely grateful for the opportunity right now.
Well said. You know, when you look at life and you look back over your shoulder, Bobby, and you look at all the obstacles and issues that you had to overcome in life, did you ever think that you would be where you're at on this path today?
Well, you know, I'm a strong believer in visualization. I have been blessed with, you know, amazing opportunities in my life. I graduated from Michigan State. I'm a professional fighter. I'm in the UFC, and this everything that is happening right now is going as planned. I expected to be fighting in the UFC. I expect to be top 10 within the next couple of years, and I expect to be fighting for a UFC title. So everything, in my opinion, everything I've seen this play out in my mind over and over again. So I don't know if that's what you were asking, but yeah, basically, you know, go ahead.
I said, you're good, bro. You're good, bro. Keep on.
Yeah.
You know, it's tremendous because I interview thousands of people, and very seldom do I get Michigan State fans, man. You know.
Oh, yeah.
We're diehard fans. You know, that's all I could
definitely
say. You know, that's tremendous. You know, it's like I tell most people about us, go to Michigan, and they look at me and they say, where? Huh?
But, yeah, right.
You know, it's a beautiful town, you know, and I love the state of Michigan. You know,
as
how
do
hard
I
was it for you? Yeah, I that's why I'd be there too if I could. You know, when you look at the way the sport's been perplexed in the state of Michigan, did that hinder any part of your career, Bobby, growing up, considering that, you know, mixed martial arts for the most part of the sport has been illegal in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, you know, it was tough, and especially, you know, they always say, like, oh, you're not going to have a good career in Michigan, blah, blah, blah. They always gave me a hard time. And, you know, I was very tempted to travel and train, which I did. But you want to know what? I think Michigan is on the uprise, especially in the MMA scene. I mean, I know you probably follow Michigan MMA, but we have some super studly guys that are coming out of this. We got Jared Brooks out of here. We got Miles Drury's back in Michigan. I'm out here. Cody Stamann just got signed with the UFC. Darren Crooks from Tank's out here. We have a lot of big talent. I think Michigan MMA is definitely on the rise, and I believe in the next couple of years it's going to be a hotbed.
You know, I see it on the rise too, and as with Josh Lawrence, and you know, that's where we have a mutual connection. You know, I have him on my show. We're all three of us are Michigan boys. So, you know, when you look at life and you look at the complexity of it, you know, what would you say would be the greatest attribute that Bobby Nash has brought to the sport?
Just drive and work ethic. If anyone watches me train in the gym, they know I'm out there and I'm working. I pride myself in being the hardest worker, and I think that rubs off on a lot of the guys I train with, Marco Smallman, Josh Bruckner, just to name a few. They're working hard just like me. They've seen all the hard work I put in, and it's rubbing off on them. So I think if anything I bring, I bring hard work and just passion. I'm very passionate about what I do.
Now, you've had a tremendous career. This is the reason why I asked about the cancellations, because you, according to what I can see, you're an undefeated amateur. What was it like for Bobby Nash to go all those fights undefeated, you know, and then step up into the pro level? What did that day mean to you, Bobby?
Well, you know, I went 14 and I was an amateur, won every fight. And then once I went pro, and then I mean, pretty much I was basically a wrestler when I was an amateur. You know, I didn't really have many MMA skills, but I went to the pro ranks, did all right there. It was awesome. You know, after going 14-0 as an amateur and going to the pro ranks, I mean, it was exciting. And as soon as I went pro, I knew I was going to the UFC. I'm like, this is my goal. This is what I'm going to do. So, you know, it was an awesome opportunity. And you know, I still, to this day, visualize even bigger and better things.
Well said. You know, when you were a younger man, what type of young man was Bobby Nash away from the mat? You know, there was certain aspects. The reason I ask my show, I like to show both sides of the fighter on my show. I like to show who they are on both sides of life and just let people realize that you guys aren't just beasts that are on the TV beating the crap out of each other, that
yeah,
you know,
right.
Truly, this is truly just another job. I mean, you work a job, and this is what you chose as a profession. But what type of young individual was Bobby Nash away from the sport?
Man, I tell you what, if you ask anyone who I am, I'd give you the shirt off my back. I'm a caring person. I care about people. I like to see others happy. I'm a family man. I love my family. I love my brothers. I have fun. You know, I'm a hardworking, tough guy. I'm a professional fighter. That might be crazy to some people, but, I mean, if you get to know me, you'll see that I'm a pretty rad dude. You know, I just like to have a good time, have fun, and, you know, I'm a caring guy. I'm very passionate and caring.
You know, when you look at what you do, it's a step above and beyond, but when you look at it in the aspect that you're creating a legacy, not just for you, but for your family, when you look at it in that aspect, what does it mean to Bobby Nash to be able to create a legacy for future generations of your family or for your children down the road to look back and reminisce and say, that was my dad, that was my uncle, that was my grandfather? What does that mean to you?
It's huge. I mean, I have a girlfriend right now, and she's, what is it, 3.5 months pregnant. I just found out about 5 days ago that I'm going to have a baby boy. And, if I didn't have enough motivation to fight, now I do, you know. Now I have all this motivation to fight. I want to create a legacy for my family. I want to make my girl proud. I want to make my family proud. I chose, and anything anyone ever does, they want to make their parents proud. They want to make their family proud. And just so happens I picked fighting. So I plan on creating a legacy. I plan on being one of the baddest fighters that ever stepped foot in the UFC. And, you know, I just want to make my future son proud, show him that dad's one of the toughest mans that ever stepped foot on the planet, and, just make my family proud, make my mom and dad proud, you know.
Most definitely, bro, most definitely. I love that because, you know, that's what life is about. Too many people put too many negative influences into life, and you know, I love your attitude. You know, so secondly, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
You know, I have a son that's 31 years old, bro. So you're gonna need the patience. You're gonna.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just figuring this all this out, man. I got a long road ahead of me.
Oh, it's a tremendous journey, though, bro. It truly is, because you get to see a part of life, and you helped create it. And there's no more of a special bond than between a father and his child.
I'm excited.
It's righteous, yeah. You know, Bobby, this is a tremendous night for you coming up. You know, to you, in your heart, you know what you got to do, and to the fans, they know what to expect from you. But if you had to surmise it into a statement about what people can expect come UFC Fight Night 113, what would that statement be, Bobby?
The statement is, I'm coming out there. My heart's on the line. I'm putting everything out on there. And Danny Roberts will not take this away from me. No question, no way. I'm coming with the victory, and I'm finishing him within 2 rounds, guaranteed. That's what you expect. You're going to expect a crazy good, you're going to expect an absolutely beautiful performance from me.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I admire about you is you talk about you're a wrestler, but you have a hell of a chin, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the creation of who you are up into the state, you know, when you look back, who would you give the highest regard to in the making of Bobby Nash?
Oh, man, that's so difficult to talk to say, because I've had such huge influences in my career. I don't know if I can necessarily give one, but what I can say is I have some amazing brothers. Chris, Kevin, and Randy, we're all around the same age. You know, my mom and dad raised me, but I think a lot of my brothers also raised me. So if I had to give anyone the highest regards, it'd have to be my brother Kevin and my brother Chris and my brother Randy. They're extremely supportive, and, we're best friends. We're all best friends. They're with me through. My brother Randy's actually going to come all the way out to Scotland to watch me fight.
That's cool, you know. That's what life is about, man. You know, you look at most of these kids nowadays, and they've got this entitlement thought. And it honestly, it sickens me. And then I get fighters like you on the show that truly love life and family and are truly just happy and content with life. You know, when you look at the kids that are struggling to find themselves, Bobby, and you look at kids that need some type of motivation or drive in life, if you were able to make a statement to those kids to, you know, get them where they need to be, to get them on the road that Bobby Nash is on, loving life, what would that statement be, Bobby?
You know, my statement is very positive to have a negative outlook on things, but the most important thing is be positive. Constantly be positive. Have positive thoughts. And when you have positive thoughts, you speak positive words, your life becomes positive. When you have negative thoughts, negative words, your life will become negative. Positive thoughts, live a happy life. Tell yourself you're living the life. Tell yourself you're having a great time. And I promise you, you will live the life and you will have a great time. It's all mindset.
Bro, I love that. That's so cool. You know, first and foremost, you know, Bobby, I can't wait to this fight night because watching the last footage, it's tremendous. I think you have a huge future ahead of you, you know, and I like
your
attitude that you don't want to be anything but a champion. That's the way you should go into anything, you know, with 100%. And you've done that both in wrestling, now in mixed martial arts, and in life. So I commend you for that. You know, first and foremost, I want to thank you for spending your time, you know, taking time out of your day on a holiday with me and my listeners, you know. But at this point in time, what I'd like to do, bro, is hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends, any family, any social media sites you may have, or just anything you would like to add to the program. The floor is yours.
Of course. If you guys want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and even Snapchat. It's at B_NASHTY. That's B Nasty. I want to thank Country Oven. I want to thank Paige in the Cave. I want to thank you guys today for having me on. I want to thank my family, all my fans, all my friends that support me.
Well, you know, it truly has been an honor for me. Like I said, I can't wait to UFC Fight Night 113. I think it's going to be a tremendous night for Bobby Nash. And I look forward
it is going to be.
Back on the Yes, sir. And I look forward to having you back on the program after that. It was truly an honor to getting to know you, bro, and Michigan all the way, my friend. You have a tremendous fourth, and thank you.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me on the show. You have a great night.
You too, buddy. God bless.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bobby Nash, a tremendous young individual. You know, honestly, it kind of shocked me, you know. He's just, you know, a family man with family values, and that's a uniqueness I think that if all of us can just grasp a little bit from, that it'll make life a little bit more unique. We're going to take a brief intermission here, and then when we come back, we'll have Pam Bam Sorensen.
Party people, party people, say you'll get funky. So sign it for, say you'll get funky. The Zulu Nation, then you'll get funky. Yeah, just hit me. Just hit the funk.
All right, and we're back. Let's go ahead and give Pam Sorensen a call.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. This is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm having a tremendous day. I don't like fireworks, so I'm truly not missing anything. You know.
Oh, no.
last time we had you on the show, you had nothing scheduled. We talked about how tremendous it would be for you to get on the next Invicta fight card, and here we are, and now you're set to face Ellen Kolznick on July 15th. How tremendous is that for you, Pam, getting an equal opportunity to step back in the cage from the last event you know, basically to prove what you need to prove.
Well, it was a great opportunity. We had to think about it for a little bit, but it was one that I would have been kind of stupid to turn down. I don't know. I just know I'm excited to fight again so soon.
Yeah. Well, I look at it, we look at the fight with Indy Gomes, and you know, truly, if you watch that fight over and over and over again, I think it could have went either way. I think they gave it to her due to the last takedown. You know,
yeah.
So I felt you were dealt an unfair hand going into that, you know, at the end of that fight. So, you know, I was quite pleased to see you added to the card. You know, in addition to that, I truly didn't think this card was going to happen, and I wasn't quite pleased with where it was going. You know, first Megan Anderson got called to the UFC, and then, you know, you got Gator, Tanya Evinger stepping up, and then she gets called to the UFC. So ultimately,
mm-hmm.
the card was left, you know, in mid-level, and, you know, here we were getting close to the date. So how hard is it for you, Pam, being able to take an event on such short notice?
I've taken short notice fights before. It's a little different this time because this lady has a little bit different style than I'm used to. I've fought southpaws before, but not with her particular style. But I would have been kind of dumb to turn it down, so.
Yeah. It's going to be a tremendous fight. You know, going into this fight, you know, I would say that, you know, this fight can be a major stepping stone, you know, in your life, Pam, and in your career. Would you say that's a fair analogy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's 5-0. I don't think she's truly been tested yet, and I think this will be the first time that actually happens. And I think it's a very winnable fight for me, and I think it'll be a very good win for me.
And I think so, too. You know, looking at stylistically, I think it's a great matchup in my eyes. To me, I think you're more of the dominant striker. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, when you look at the matchup stylistically, what do you feel favors you the most, Pam?
I actually think the ground game will favor me in this one. I watched a few fights of hers, and she's not an amazing striker, but she's not bad. And she's not amazing on the ground, but she's not bad. But I feel like the ground is her weakness. And being that I'm not going up against the black belt this time, I think that's where I have a clear advantage.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to agree with you there. You know, how much do you look at, you know, you see, the situation that perplexes me is, you know, you talk about she's a great fighter, she's sitting at 5-0, but in theory, you're the much more seasoned fighter here, you know, and I got to give it to you. Like I said, I think you would still be at 5, you know, I think you'd be at 6-1 if it was up to me, if I was one of the judges at the last Invicta Fighting Championships. You know, what, if anything, did you take away from that fight against India Gomes? Was it disappointment? Was it a thought that you don't let it go to the judges? What did you take away from that fight, Pam?
I think, because I agree with you, I believe I lost that fight by that last takedown in the second round. And I feel like I let that takedown happen too easily, because I was thinking more along the lines of, I don't want her to end up in full mount or in side control, so I'm just going to accept the takedown and land in either half guard or full guard and be safer. And so I think, if anything, sometimes the safe way isn't the right way. It's not how you win sometimes. Sometimes being safe loses fights.
Yeah. You know, one thing when you look back at your career, you know, you've had a tremendous run, and you've got great ability. You know, I take fighters back to lessons in life. Because the reason I do that is because, you know, each fighter is different and each fighter takes away something different from that night. Going back to the fight at KOTC with Shannon Young, what would you say inspired you more, Pam, to come out much more devastating the next fight, because you came out in a dominating fashion after that against Brenda Gonzalez.
So we protested the decision after the Shannon Young fight. Unfortunately, we were given three boxing judges who had no knowledge of jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai, and even the referee, Mike Beltran, chewed out the judges afterwards and was like, what is that? And, like, how do you get a 4-1 for me, a 4-1 for her, and then somebody, I think, scored it 3-2 rounds for her. And I felt like I got robbed that fight, and I was pissed off. And so when I fought Brenda, I was like, this is not going to happen again. I'm going to make it very clear that this is my fight.
Yes, and you should. You know, one thing that kind of cracks me up is obviously I haven't seen the very vocal side of Pam Sorensen, because I remember the first time I asked you to come on my show, and it makes me laugh from time to time, because I look back at the statement you made on your post, and I promise I'll behave this time. What type of character is Pam Sorensen away from the cage?
I have my little quirks, and sometimes the filter that runs from my mouth to my brain, sometimes it doesn't work, and I say really stupid things. I don't know, but other than that, I think I'm pretty easygoing. I don't get worked up about a whole lot, and I just want to hang out with my dog when I'm not training.
You know, you're in a sport that's, you know, we all love, of course, because otherwise we wouldn't be here doing this. And you look at, you know, men's MMA, they still say it's in the infancy. So when you look at WMMA, I don't even know, you know, how you would surmise that into a thought if they consider men's in the infancy still. But you look at the growth and what Invicta Fighting Championships is doing for women. What is your greatest takeaway from being a part of Invicta? And if you had words to say to Shannon Knapp for giving you those opportunities, what would that be?
Oh, man, like, it's hard to even put it into words, because everybody wants to say if it wasn't for Ronda Rousey, the women would not be in the UFC. But I think Shannon deserves equal credit for that, because she showed, like, look, there is talent here. They put on exciting fights, sometimes even more so than the men. And I think she deserves a lot more credit than she's given for that. And it's just amazing. I don't think women in MMA would be anywhere near where we are now if it wasn't for opportunities that Shannon has given all of us.
You know, here, I agree with you 100%. You know, I look at the sport, and you look at the ones that have been given opportunities or under the guidelines of Invicta Fighting Championships. You know, I have to agree with you. I don't think Ronda deserves one bit of credit for women being in the UFC. You know, when you look at life at whole, Pam, and you look at what inspired you to get in the sport when you were young, what changes did that add to Pam Sorensen in the creation of the MMA fighter?
I don't know. It just gave, you know, when I first started, Invicta was the UFC for women. And so that was the ultimate end goal. And then now it's like, oh, I can take it even further. There's like, not that it's easy to fight in Invicta, but there's something else past it. So I'm not at the end here. It's just, I don't know.
She said, not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
You know, there's a long way to go. I mean, you know, when you first got into the sport, what were your motivations, and where did you hope to end up in the beginning and the creation and the making of Pam Sorensen?
Gosh, I never thought that I would be fighting professionally. I never thought I would give up my regular 9-to-5 job. I thought it was something I was doing just as a hobby and something that was fun. And then I realized I might actually be good at this, and I might actually be able to go somewhere with this. And so it was definitely not planned.
No. And sometimes that's the best way to have a career, was just, you know, just to fall into it, because I believe in life, our path is already written out for us, and we end up where we're meant to be eventually, one way or another. You know, Pam, you've done a lot in the sport, and you're a truly tremendous talent. When you look back at your whole life as a whole and all your accomplishments and steps that you've taken, what would you say is your greatest takeaway overall?
Oh, just not to give up. I mean, everything I have, I've had to work hard for. It's not, like, kickboxing never came easy to me. Jiu-jitsu never came easy to me. I worked at it. I realized, wow, I'm really bad at this, and I want to be good at it. And it was just like when I was in college. I started off, I was really, really bad at math. I was like, you know what, I'm going to work at this and not give up just because it's too hard. So I think it's just a good lesson in life, is just work harder and it'll get easier.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I've interviewed thousands of fighters, and sometimes making transitions from one promotion to another is hard. How was it for you know, how hard was it for you to make a transition from King of the Cage to Invicta? Or do you feel that it was a step up in the life of Pam Sorensen?
It was definitely a step up. There were some changes that happened in King of the Cage that I was not too terribly fond with. So I think it was time for me to kind of step away from them. I mean, I think it's still a great organization. It's a great place for people to get their start. But I think I'm at a point now where I need more than they have to offer. So it was needed. I love everything. I am very appreciative for everything they did for me. But I think Invicta is a much better fit overall.
Yes. Now, when you look at everything that has gotten you to where you're at today, you know, we've already talked about pretty much all aspects of you. Did you ever realize that through everything, all the obstacles, that you would end up continuing and still striving to be, you know, one of the best fighters in women's MMA?
No, not at all. It's like, especially when I first started fighting as an amateur, I come from a very good Muay Thai gym, and I would go to sparring, and I hated it when I first started fighting, because probably one of the worst ones in the gym. Everybody would beat up on me, and I would leave, like, how is it possible that I'm so bad? And eventually it just kind of went away. I was able to hold my own. And so, yeah, as soon as I stopped getting beat up on a daily basis, then I realized, okay, I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
You can only learn in the sport, and you truly have. And I admire your career. You know, everything that we all do is for a purpose in life, and, you know, like I said, we eventually find our niche, and I truly believe you have. You know, what type of person was the young Pam Sorensen that led her on this path? Let me rephrase that. Initially, when you were a young girl and you were thinking about going this route in life, you know, what initially led you to the sport, Pam?
It was actually that I was going through some stuff. I had gotten fat, and I realized I needed to probably be a little healthier and lose some weight, get back to where I was more around when I was in high school, college. And I just decided one day, kind of on a whim, like, hey, I think I want to try a cardio kickboxing class. And I walked into the gym that I'm still at today. I walked into the Cellar Gym, and I absolutely loved it. And it just kind of grew from there.
When you look at everything in life, you know, we truly have pivotal moments. What would you say would be your greatest reflection or your greatest takeaway from the sport to date?
God, just not to give up and not to take no for an answer. I think that's something that's hard for women in the sport, is sometimes we're not just handed opportunities that the men are. And sometimes, like, for example, I think just about every woman out there knows if you have an opponent fall out, a lot of times the fight is off. They're not even going to look for somebody else. It's too hard to find somebody else. And I was definitely one of the, what if I try, like, to find this? Like, I'm not taking no for an answer. I've trained too hard for you to just say, oh, sorry, you're out. But it goes with other aspects of the sport, too. It's just, you know, don't take no for an answer.
No, in the creation of Pam Sorensen, there's been many individuals, you know, that have helped you get where you're at in your career. If you had to pick one or two that truly have left a defining mark in the life of Pam Sorensen, who would that be?
Well, one would definitely be my head coach, Chris Sasson. I just feel like he always believed in me. He never told me I couldn't do something, whereas sometimes other people were, you know, maybe that's not a good idea, maybe this isn't for you. He was always very supportive on top of being an amazing coach. He's been there since day one, and he's still here, so I haven't chased him away yet.
You know, the part that's perplexed a lot of people in this sport is, you know, you look at, you know, weight cuts and things of this nature and different aspects. And, you know, I broke a story with Andrea KGB Lee when she first initially got in trouble when Invicta was out in Las Vegas, which are initially going to be going back out, I guess, the next event after this. You know, has Pam, have you ever crossed a situation where, you know, there's been, because there's a difference between men and women fighters, and the reason, and you'll find out in my thought process at the end of this. You know, going into a weight cut or going into a weigh-in, have you ever been, you know, perplexed in that type of situation? And do you think there needs to be some, you know, leverage that is given to the women in those aspects?
What do you mean by some leverage given to the women?
Well, you know, okay, I'll break it down much further. You know, the women's body are much different than men's bodies. You know, we don't have, of course, we don't have a menstrual cycle. You know, to be point blank, you're going to say it, but...
Yeah.
you know, and what perplexed on Andrea KGB Lee was she went out there, she had taken a water pill, she didn't know it was on the banned substance list. Has that ever been an issue in your career?
No, I understand Andrea's reasoning for why she did that. I mean, sometimes you get really bloated, and I don't think she did it to actually help her cut weight. I think she took it before the fight because she bloated so much. And maybe it wasn't the right way to go about it. I personally wouldn't have done it, but it is what it is. I think maybe they should have a little bit of leeway because it happens.
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, it's beginning to, you know, I'm starting to see a cycle with all the women fighters that I have come on, and this is an issue that 90% of the fighters that come on my show that are women bring up, you know, and we don't know unless we ask, and you look at things, and, you know, in my eyes, I think there should be a variance given there because, of course, the woman's body is different than the men's in all aspects, you know, and you can't categorize anybody in that aspect. But anyway, let's move on to the next question. I don't even know why I brought that up. I guess it's because I can hear all the fireworks. I don't know.
Oh,
you know,
sorry.
Oh, you're good. You know, you're going to bring fireworks July 15th, and you're going to have a tremendous night in the Octagon. You know, Pam, if you could give me a statement to your fans, to your family, to your friends about what they can expect from you come July 15th, what would that statement be?
Well, I mean, I'm coming off a loss, and I do not like to lose. So I am definitely in this one to win, and I don't want it to be another split decision win. I want to go out there and decisively win and leave no question in people's mind who the better fighter is.
amen to that, because I really don't think he lost that fight, in my opinion. You know, who is Pam Sorensen away from the sport? When you get a chance to walk away from the cage, the gym, all aspects of the sport, what does Pam Sorensen like to do?
I like to play with my dogs. And I like to be with my family and my friends. I'm not really a go out to the bar kind of person. So I sit at home with my dogs and I dress them up.
Oh,
I dress,
you know,
one of them up. The other one won't let me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually honestly understand that. You know, people, they ask me, what do you do? You know, because I shoot so many events and then I do the radio show and all this, but when I get a moment away from the sport, I guess I'm quirky and eccentric. I don't know. There's not very many people that know where I live. I like to, on my free time, I like to be away from everybody. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if most people can understand that, but, you know, each and every weekend or every week at the gym, you know, you have to go and be around all these people. And, you know, every once in a while, it's nice just to have that break. And When I'm at home, I truly, there's only about five people who know where I live, and I don't have them, even them, over my house, because my free time is my special time, you know. And that's why I ask those types of questions, because you never know in life, you know. Everybody's different and we all look at life different, you know. I think this is going to be a tremendous fight with Helen. I've watched some footage of both of you. You know, in my personal opinion, I think you're the better striker. I think you've got a tremendous ground game. You know, I see this fight, you know, favoring Pam Sorensen in a lot of aspects. You know, earlier you said that she's got a great record, but once that cage door locks, what flips in the heart of Pam Sorensen to turn her from such a, you know, a comical human being into the beast that you are?
You know, when I get in there, it's the same as when I walk into the gym. Something just clicks, and when I get to the gym, I'll be friendly with people. Once training starts, I have something to do. I have a goal in mind. I'm there to work. And it's the same when that cage door locks. I'm there to work. I'm not there just to have fun. And I'm there to put on a good show, put on a good fight, and hopefully come out the winner. I'm not there to be anybody's friend. So it's just, I'm able to kind of turn it on and off.
Yeah, I like that, because that's kind of what Liam McGarry says, you know, when right before I had both him and Linton Vassell before they came, you know, were getting ready to fight the 19th of last month. And they're brothers. They're truly friends in life. And, you know, he said, I hate fights like this, but once that cage door locks, it's like I'm punching in my time card and, you know, that's food on my family's table. So, you know, it's war once that cage door locks, but when it's open, I'll go buy you a beer. But when it's closed, I'm going to try to knock your block off. And, you know,
yeah,
that's really
exactly
what the sport is. Yeah, and it, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, you see these Conor McGregors and people that are like that, and you see the New Essence and Cody Garbrandt. You know, a lot of people think that all fighters are this way. And in reality, it's not. This is a truly passionate sport. People that care in life and really just want to gain and strive to be the best that they can be. What would you like to instill into Pam Sorensen moving into the future?
I don't know. I think I would just like to remain a respectful and humble fighter, but go in there and let my performances speak for themselves.
You know, it's funny. The other, I guess Sunday, I interviewed Gabby Romero, and you know, she caught me way off guard. You know, I asked her a question, and she said, "You know what, Don?" She said, "I've heard you've been called the Barbara Walters of MMA before, but," she said, "really, I think you're Dr. Phil and Oprah mixed." You know, and I didn't know how to take that. You know, but the whole idea of my platform on my show is, like I said, you know, to show you guys who you are in life, not just in the cage, but out of the cage, you know. And I think that gives people another perspective of who you are in life, you know. So hopefully you understand my show somehow, some way, and appreciate it. You know, as last time, I'll be there at your next event to shoot it, and I truly look forward to that day. You know, if you could give a message to the youth who are looking for an avenue in life, looking for structure, looking for, you know, a place to be, what would you say to them about the sport of mixed martial arts?
I would say it's not for everybody, but if it's something you love, you have to love it to really pursue it and put all your faith into it, but something not to be forced. I think there's a lot of kids out there that are doing it because they think it's cool, that it makes them the tough kid. And don't do it for that reason. Do it because it's something you truly love to do.
Yes. Now, you're still currently out of the Siller Gym, correct?
Yes.
You know, and you talk about your mentor has been there since day one. How would you say that has helped you in the making and in the career of Pam Sorensen, having one true mentor that stood by your side from the beginning?
It's just been really nice. Like, our jiu-jitsu coaches have changed over the years, and it's hard to get used to one style and then go to another style. And they don't know your background. They don't know where you came from. They don't know what you're good at. They know what they're good at, and that's what they're going to try and teach you. And I feel like since Chris has been there since the very beginning, he knows what I'm bad at. He knows what I'm good at. I think he just knows me better and what I'm capable of. And I think it's just really helpful because, I mean, we've worked together for the last, 6 years? And so it's just much easier kind of having a constant in there.
Yes. You know, if you can make a statement to Shannon Knapp and the Invicta Fighting Championships, you know, letting them know how much you appreciate each and every opportunity that they give you, what would that statement be?
Oh, that's a hard one, because it's hard to put into words how thankful you I am for the opportunities that they give, not only me, but all the women. It's hard. I'm very thankful and very grateful. I think without Invicta, it would still be like it was the 1980s with women's MMA. I think Invicta really paved the way, and it's just too hard to put into words like how much that means to me and probably most of the other female fighters out there.
Yeah, you know, I love it because you've got Shannon, you got Julie, you got Laura, and everybody else combined, and it truly is a humble family over there at the Invicta Fighting Championships. I think that's one thing that leads me to it. But, you know, one night I was at an event. We had shot Invicta one night, and then we were at another event the next day, which was all men's card. And me and the commission, we were like, man, I wish we could go back to last night. You know, the women really brought it, and that's one thing I think that I truly respect about Invicta. You know, when most people think of women fighting, they don't really see the warrior aspect of it. They think women fighting. But if you've never been to an Invicta fighting card, trust me, you'll probably enjoy it much more than you would a men's fight. I mean, you guys thoroughly go at it. I mean, you know, I was amazed. I go all the way back to like Invicta 9 or 10, something like that. And, you know, my jaw dropped. You know, I was impressed by the quality of the show and the quality of fighters. You know, Pam, it's been an honor to have you on the show tonight. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out on a holiday to do a radio show. I didn't realize it was a holiday when we scheduled it. But I knew that when I had you on last time, we talked about the India Gomes fight and how much I would love to see you back on an Invicta card. And you know, I was so happy to see you get this fight. I think it's a tremendous stepping stone for you and your career. And I think you're a tremendous fighter with great ability. And I can't wait to shoot this next fight because I know you're going to be there to prove something. And that's a statement in itself. So first and foremost, thank you for coming on the show. Secondly, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, my friend. Any statements you want to make? Any social media sites or sponsors you want to thank, or just anything you want to add to the show, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thank you for having me on and letting me talk all my nonsense. but I have to thank everybody over at the Cellar Gym, my coaches, all my teammates and training partners. Can't do it all by myself, so they're in it just as much as I am. And then all of my sponsors who have kind of stuck by me and they've risen to the occasion on even a very short notice fight. There's Bourbon and Bows, Muskie Frenzy, Lures, Minneapolis Motorsports, Fighter Alias. It's just really cool that they're able to kind of step up and help me out on a last-minute fight like this.
Yes, and, you know, I truly appreciate you coming on. I'd be quite honest with you, I'm not feeling the best today, and I probably didn't get one of my best interviews, and I hope you don't hold that against me.
Not at all.
Long day. You know, you truly are a tremendous person in life, Pam. I like your attitude, and your poor dog, you know, quit dressing him up. No,
she likes the attention. She poses for pictures. She loves it.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm probably one of the first men in journalism will admit I have a cat, and so it's like, her name is Tater Tot. So it's kind of funny because I named her this, not thinking of anything, and you know, as she got older, she never grew. So the funny thing about it is now I've got a full-grown cat that's only 6 pounds. So you know, I look and the name perfect, but you know, my day wouldn't be complete without my little buddy either. And I truly appreciate that aspect of you, and thank you so much for coming on the show, and you have a tremendous fort, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, good night, God bless.
All right, you too, thanks.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not on snuff tonight. I am feeling a little bit horrible. I mean, I've had a harsh last couple of days, but... you know, I'm a man of my word, and we will get this show done. You know, when we come back, well, actually, when we won't come back, we'll just jump straight into Miranda Maverick.
Hello?
Hi, Miranda. This is Don McGuire with The Fighter's Voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I've had better days. I can tell you that. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today, but hey, the show must go on. You know, I've had the opportunity to shoot your fights. I've had the opportunity to come to your gym now once and shoot you. You're a tremendous athlete. When you look at the town that we're in Springfield, you know, it isn't truly known for, you know, too many athletes in the sport. And then now you have this young lady named Miranda Maverick out of the Springfield Fight Club. Did you ever see yourself rising to this point in your career to get these opportunities like you have come July 15th?
I sure didn't think it happened near as soon as it did. You know, I started out as soon as I could at the age of 18, and I just had so many fights since then. And the call up to Invicta was such a big dream for me. Like, that in and of itself was as far as I had ever seen myself ever getting. But now it's become a reality that I can go even farther and, you know, maybe get to the UFC, be a world champ. Who knows where it'll go from there. And I want to just see where that dream will take me. I'm young enough that I have plenty of time to take that road.
Well, you have a tremendous team and support system there at the Springfield Fight Club. And, you know, I was left in awe after the day of shooting there. As you know, I was affiliated with the Springfield Fight Club back several years when you had Jesse Zwiggin, Josh Downing, and all them, you know, and even Zach Cummings. And now I see the new era of the Springfield Fight Club. What would you say to the world if you could make a statement about the Springfield Fight Club and what it truly has meant to you, what would that be?
Well, it sounds kind of cliche, but it's such a family setting. Like, when I first went there, I was super young. I was 16 years old, and I was looking for a place that I felt basically safe to learn how to roll with people bigger than me and everything. And I instantly got along with two of the coaches, Brett and Nate, who are both my corners right now in all my fights. And they just welcomed me in, were very protective of me, and still basically are. And all my teammates are super safe, and, you know, everybody controls themselves based on size and weight, but at the same time don't see me as a girl and, like, they have to take it easy.
Yes. Now, come July 15th, you're set to face a multiple world champion and a black belt in BJJ. What do you feel that Gabby Romero can bring to the cage for Miranda Maverick?
I mean, she definitely, obviously, I respect her jiu-jitsu a lot. I mean, she is a world champion. She's a black belt. I've never even rolled with a girl who is a black belt, although I've wanted to. And it'll sure test my limits, especially my jiu-jitsu background. I've always been the grappler of the fighting, always been super confident when I took it to the ground. And I'm just going to have to be a lot more careful this time. I respect her as a person and in her career. And I've followed her before. I recognized the name as soon as they basically told me who it was. And I looked her up and basically figured out why.
Yes. When you look at the passion that's instilled in you, Miranda, you know, for the sport we all love, where would you say that got its start and led you down this path?
Probably my dad. You know, I'm a Christian, strong believer in God, and my dad's always taught me to just go for my dreams and pray about it and do what's right, and basically everything else will follow behind. And I've put all my effort into this and trying to make the best of all my potentials and talents in life, and hopefully that'll keep going.
Yes. Now, how much would you say you've benefited from having world-class strikers like Zach Cummings coming back to the Springfield Fight Club, having the venue just, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes away from where you train? Would you say that's a big, huge benefit, you know, going into July 15th, Miranda?
Oh, it's definitely a benefit. For all these Invicta fights that have been in Kansas City, it makes the weight cut that much easier. Not having to stress about travel and getting up there early or finding a place where I can cut weight or anything like that. As far as having Zach Cummings affiliated with our gym, I mean, it's definitely made the gym much more professional. And with all the black belts that we have teaching the jiu-jitsu class, that always helps. We have strikers, some of my training partners, one of them was a Golden Gloves champion. Like, everybody just helps one step at a time. All my training partners help in some aspect as I'm leading up to this fight and all my others.
Yes. Now, when I was there, you know, I saw the same thing that keeps you there. And that's the family rapport, the family aspect, and, you know, the integrity. It seems as if, you know, everybody checks their ego at the door and everybody becomes one once they step on the mat. You know, when you look at Nathan Stemberski and the others that train there, what would you say is the greatest thing they've instilled in you as a fighter?
Well, I mean, as far as their help and everything, like, everybody is definitely supportive of me and where I'm going. Like, they'll stop what they're doing to come and help me. But as far as instilled, like, Nathan's a very big encourager. Every time I go to fight or even in practice, you know, he won't let me get down on myself. He's always looking at the positive side of things. But when it gets down to the serious time, he'll critique me and always has something to help me improve on every practice, every fight.
Yes. Now, getting ready to, you know, face Gabby Romero, and hypothetically speaking, you know, if Miranda Maverick comes away with a win, this could be a huge stepping stone in your career. What are the thoughts that sit in the back of Miranda, in the back of your head, that truly, you know, divulge the full warrior in you to come out July 15th?
Well, you know, I don't know how the fight's exactly going to go yet. I've made a game plan, but I guess that's for viewers to find out and pay for, you know, to find out what's going to happen and see me win and see how. But if I win this fight, I feel like regardless of how I win, this is going to be a big step for me just because this opponent, you know, she has a name across the world. Everybody knows who, well, most people know who Gabby Romero is that are part of the sport or part of jiu-jitsu. And especially if I'm able to take it to the ground and secure the win that way, that's just going to be a huge win for me as far as legitimizing my own jiu-jitsu. And if I don't win on the ground, then it's going to say, hey, Miranda's more of a multidimensional fighter than we've previously seen.
Now, would you say it's either helped or hindered you with this fight coming on a two-week notice?
Honestly, it didn't make much of a difference, the two-week notice. I'm glad that the weight's moved up, and that's probably where I'm going to stay for a while is the flyweight division at 125, just because the 115 cut was obviously pretty difficult for me. And with other stuff going on in life right now, 125 is probably where I'll stay for a while. But the 2 weeks notice thing wasn't a big deal. I train every day, just about as hard during my fight camp as when I'm out of the fight camp. And as you know, I was just got done preparing for another fight that got canceled. So I was in shape and I was super excited to get this call out to Invicta.
Yes. Now, you know, my show, you haven't been on it before. This is actually a first for me, especially, I don't think I've ever interviewed a fighter from the 417 other than Zach Cummings and Michael Johnson. So this is kind of, you're my first female fighter from Springfield. So that's a tremendous
honor
for my show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be that first little stepping stone there.
You know, when you look at who you were, Miranda, in life before you decided to follow the path that you're on now, who was Miranda Maverick?
Basically the same person. I mean, I've always been interested in the same things. I have my art business still. Family's a huge focus for me, and my little brother and sister and my dad's a huge part of my life and is in this MMA world as well. He's supportive of everything I go to do. The same plans for college were in action. Everything was the same. I just kind of added this on as a extra thing to, you know, achieve a dream.
Now, was your mom on board as much as your father was when she found out her daughter was going to step into the octagon?
I mean, I think she's just as on board, just not quite as involved. Doesn't know as much about the sport, and she was probably a little bit more worried, but purely out of, you know, not having knowledge about it. But she's definitely supportive, comes and watches my fights all the time, and helps me in any way she can.
To that, you know, Miranda, when you're, let's say you get a moment alone and you just happen to walk by, you know, a mirror and you look at yourself, what reflection do you see?
I don't know. I mean, I'm always growing. I try to see the positive in things, but I'm also really bad about critiquing myself. I like to find those challenges and push myself to the next level all the time. So in that analogy, when I go back and look at my previous fights, you know, I always look at myself and I'm like, oh, if I could just take over my body for 10 seconds and redo that right there, or change this or improve that, and then I envision how I'll do it in the next fight. And it's the same way in life, I guess. We all have regrets, but we can also all improve and change as we go.
Very well said. You know, I hold the Springfield Fight Club in high regard, and you know, I've recently was able to, like I said, shoot you in the gym, and I see a young lady full of passion and, you know, determination. You know, your father truly is obviously the mentor behind that. What does it mean to you to have such a structure and so much, you know, passion behind you, allowing you to step forward into the future in the sport you love?
It is huge for me. If my dad wasn't as supportive as he was, who knows if I'd even be here. He was the one who sat on the sofa with me watching Ronda Rousey's first fight and basically said, hey, you could be world champ at that. And I kind of laughed and giggled at it at the age of 12 or 14, whatever I was. And, you know, now here I am making my mark, trying to move up. But his support, being in my corner up until these pro fights, always being there, supportive of me, helping me. Every time I get home, you know, he wants to wrestle with me or show me a new movie saw or ask me what I've been learning at the gym and trying to let me test it out on him or my siblings now that they're bigger. And it just means so much to me, you know, to have that center so close to home, basically. Have my dad that's that supportive center instead of basically a stranger. It just changes everything in that aspect.
Yeah. You know, when you first announced you got in the sport, you probably didn't surmise you would be where you're at today, and it's a tremendous thing. You know, when I watched you at your last fight, you know, you have this aspect of your ability that I haven't seen in a long time to come. You know, your ground game is truly tremendous, and now you're set to face one of the women in the world that has truly, I would say, a comparable, you know, ground game to you. And you talk about it earlier. You know, it's truly going to test the ground game of Miranda Maverick. You know, coming July 15th, you know, facing Gabby Romero, what do you see other than the ground game that she could bring to Miranda Maverick?
That's honestly all I have seen from her, really, from her previous fight. She might have striking or better wrestling than what I picture that she'll bring to the ring, but, I mean, I've been training in all those different aspects as well, and you know, as far as the jiu-jitsu is concerned, I'm only a blue belt. I mean, I don't consider myself to be better than her in any means or even comparable. But this is MMA, not jiu-jitsu. And I just haven't had time to really show how good my skill is on the ground. And I feel like punches, different positions in MMA that vary from jiu-jitsu are going to really influence what she can do or not do in this fight.
Amen. I like that. You know, and you got to look at it like that. I mean, because you truly, I mean, she's actually switching her world to come into your world, which, you know, in the last two fights, I mean, you're an undefeated warrior. So when you look at it in that aspect, you know, she's really coming to your playground to play. And, you know, this is where you have excelled, you know, and I look for it to be a tremendous fight. You know, looking back at the 417, you know, predominantly, you know, you look at Jerry Seitz and you look at Miranda Maverick, and then upcoming is Elle Waggman. What kind of advice have you given Elle Waggman in her career and moving into the future?
Oh, my. Well, I'm sure she'll hear this, but I have encouraged her to go to lower weight than she has previously. And it's hard for her to find opponents at 105, but I think that's where her home is. She's a little enough person. Every day, I mean, especially when I'm not a couple weeks out from fight camp, I mean, she's always pushing it in practice, trying her best, always looks for the harder partners to go with. I train with her constantly, tried to help her with her wrestling, her striking's coming along. Everybody is improving at a fast pace at Springfield Fight Club with all the good people that we have there now, working as a team. And for her, I mean, it's funny because a lot of her opponents have been my opponents and probably will be in the future. So I just kind of give her tips and encourage her to just keep her, you know, the mental thing is the biggest deal in fighting to me. Be intelligent when you're fighting and know what the opponent's going to do. Make sure you can always make that next move and keep the confidence about you. Not necessarily being cocky, but knowing what you need to do and what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Most definitely. When you talk about spirituality, you know, and honestly, from talking to you, you know, you're very open about being Christian. How much would you say that religion has, you know, perplexed the making of Miranda Maverick in life? And how much would you say, you know, is based on the humility of what you've learned from church and you've expressed and carried on to into the future and into the cage?
I just give all the credit and glory to God in that sense. I mean, I don't feel like there's any way I could make it doing anything without him, you know, guiding me, giving me the talents that I have and allowing me to share that potential with others. And inspire others too. I try to more than just spread the word of God. Like, I try to just inspire people, be morally right, like the kids at the gym and stuff. You know, I don't lie. I try to be humble about everything that I do, and help them. Just, you know, don't lie, that kind of thing. Just simple things that have led me to where I've gotten. And, I mean, I know God's a part of it. Good things seem to keep happening. And I just have faith that that'll continue as long as I continue believing in everything. And that's another thing. Like, I love that my coaches, my dad, like, we pray before I go into every single one of my fights. And it's just kind of a habit that I have.
It's a good habit. It's not, it's a good habit. Trust me. I believe in God myself, and I think it's a tremendous aspect to you. You know, when you look at Invicta Fighting Championships, you know, it's a tremendous organization. It's the top in the world for women. You know, what did it initially mean to you, Miranda, to get that call from them and have them ask you to come up and take part in their promotion?
I was stunned. I was actually at work, had received a Facebook message from Shannon Knapp, and I honestly thought it was a joke. Like, how could this be real? I'm not very far in my career. I hadn't even announced that I was even interested in turning pro yet. And here's this message from the president of the world's largest women's MMA promotion. And I got a call from my coach. I got a call from both the people that I held belts for and messages saying congratulations. And so I went back, and this was during work, so I was still busy. And I was just like, wait a minute, this is real. And I started bawling right then and there. And I was so excited. You know, I was still had just, I'm trying to remember the age frame there. I think I had just turned 19, if I recall, or something like that, as soon as I got it. And it was just super exciting for me. I was crying. I called my dad. I basically stopped work, and I was like, oh my goodness, look at this amazing thing that happened. And I was like, let me go, let me do it, because my coaches were somewhat skeptical at first. And so we talked about it and decided to go on and pursue it, because I was just making the argument that, hey, I'm young, what's the worst that can happen? Like, I could shoot up this ladder real fast right now and just continue training and get more serious about it. And so that's what happened. And I love it that they gave me that opportunity. I'm so grateful for it and for what they've done for women's MMA as a whole. I mean, they've absolutely skyrocketed from where women's MMA used to be. Now it's more of a headliner. Now people know what it is. And it's helping break all those stereotypes of what MMA is to begin with as well.
Very well said. And, you know, I have to agree with you. I had Pam Sorensen on just right before you, and she said a lot of people want to give, you know, Ronda Rousey for credit for creating the sport for women. And she said in her mind and in her heart, it truly is Shannon Knapp. You know, I happen to feel the same way. What are your thoughts?
I think that Shannon has definitely helped the women's MMA promotions as a whole, especially. And for me, I mean, she's my hero. She's the one who I credit with the way I've gone through MMA, and many other girls I know feel the same way. And she's a wonderful person from everything that I've known about her and from when I've met her and talked to her. I think Ronda Rousey just made it hit the big screens a little bit more. And yeah, of course, she did some stuff for the women's sport and made it known, got it into the UFC, which all of us, I'm pretty sure I can speak for everyone, shoot for becoming a woman in the UFC at some point. But Shannon Knapp is the one who started Invicta that basically skyrockets us to that next level.
Yes. Now, Miranda, if you could write down a statement on a paper that would be your greatest thought or your greatest takeaway in either the in life or in the cage, what would that statement be?
I'll have to think about that one for just a second. Probably, you know, just kind of what I touched on earlier, like every talent that you have, everything that you go into wanting to do, that you have a passion for, really go for it. Like, take the risk, put in 100% dedication. See what your potential is by trying your best. Don't waste anything. There's so many smart people and talented people out there that just sit around and let the world revolve around them instead of taking part in it. And it's a shame. So get out there and do it while you still have the chance.
Yes. Now, going back to, you know, April of 2016, I guess it's April. Well, let's just say 4/23 of 2016. You know, you were taught a lesson by Samantha Gillian. What was your greatest takeaway from that fight? What would you feel was the biggest lessons you learned? Because from that point forward, you've been nothing but sheer devastation in the cage.
So many things I learned from that fight about myself mentally and, you know, in the actual fight. First off, elevation. I had never been through basically the first round of a fight. I think I had one go a little bit into the second round. But I never knew what cardio I had exactly in a fight. And there I thought I just had really terrible cardio. And come to find out during my next fight that I may go three rounds, it wasn't my cardio, it was just the elevation. So that was part of it. Also, I never punched. That was part of my problem. Once I get on the ground, when I first started out in my career, I just wouldn't throw my hands at all. It was like I was in a jiu-jitsu competition. And so we really worked on that. The coaches were going to put me in a kickboxing match, and I basically was like, no, I'll do it. I'll work on it. And so my next fight, I kept standing the whole time and just worked on my striking. And we had Garrett Armfield come into the gym, and he's really good at striking, and he's close to my size, and he's really helped improve my striking along with Nathan and Zach's teaching and all their techniques. So I learned to just, you know, switch from my normal jiu-jitsu and start being a little bit more comfortable standing from that fight. And also, I don't like it going to decision. I learned that as well.
Yes, most definitely. I had to step away from the studio for a second. I apologize about that. You know, when you look at your last fight with Holiday, you know, it was a tremendous outing for you. I happened to be on hand and was able to capture some spectacular shots of your night. But looking back at that night, what was your biggest thought after the event? When you're sitting in the hotel room and you look back at that event, what was your greatest takeaway from that moment?
Well, I had several. There was the positive and the negatives. As I said, I like to critique myself, and I'm pretty hard on myself when it comes to how I do in my fights and things, because I'm always looking for things to improve. And when she slammed me, oh, terrible feeling of, oh, my goodness, everybody's going to think I'm just a little amateur, you know, but I did turn it around fast and got the win. I was fine with going to the ground, but would have rather it been via me taking her to the ground. However, like the way that I won, I'm pretty happy with the jiu-jitsu that was displayed and that I was able to show how important jiu-jitsu really is in a fight.
Yes. Now, you talk about, you know, you're already prepared, and you truly were. You were set to fight in the Ozarks Combat League under the promotion of Zach Cummings and Brian Green. How big of a disappointment, you know, this early in your career, you know, did it perplex any issues in the thoughts of Miranda Maverick moving forward in that cancellation of that fight that night?
Not at all, honestly. If anything, I mean, I felt like she just didn't really want to fight me. I was just upset that I didn't get to fight locally like I wanted to. I was hoping I'd get to fight in basically my hometown. I had a bunch of people buy tickets, a bunch of people who were looking forward to watching me fight when they can't make it anywhere else. And unfortunately, that did not end up happening. And, you know, I put in months of training into that and the weight cut. So, yeah, of course I was disappointed. But as far as leading forward, it didn't affect me at all. I'm ready to fight and ready to find even better opponents and keep moving up with Invicta and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, as we stated earlier, you know, this is the fight you got now is a huge stepping stone for you. You know, if you come out victorious come July 15th, you know, the world is basically going to be in the hands of Miranda Maverick, and it's going to be a tremendous night for you. You know, I think this is a perfect matchup for you, honestly. You know, you were already prepared to fight another opponent. This fight came 2 weeks, so you're already on point. You know, I look forward to seeing this fight. You know, as you know, I'll be there shooting it. But one thing I would like to touch on is when I was at the Springfield Fight Club, I seen a unique ability in you that I haven't seen in a long time, and that's your the kicking ability, the Muay Thai attitude, and the kickboxer in you. Who instilled the talent of you being so tremendous, not just on the mat, but in kickboxing?
As I mentioned earlier, like Nathan and Zach have both, of course, contributed to that. But I'm going to give a lot of credit to my main training partner, and that's Garrett Armfield, who's an amateur right now in the 417 area. But he brought a lot of boxing and kickboxing experience and even taekwondo into our gym, and he's just the perfect size for me to train with and is always picking my stuff apart. So that's really helped me in all those aspects. Like if you see us both strike, people are saying I look more and more like his striking, and there's reasons for that. But all of my training partners have definitely contributed, doing shark tanks with me, striking against me, each person switching off every minute. Just pushing the pace and making me work. Being bigger than me has really made me figure out where my reach is and move faster and figure out where I can have those strengths as the littler person.
Yes. Now, Miranda, I know you don't talk crap about your opponents because that's just not you. It's not the Springfield Fight Club. It's just not how you roll in life. But if you had to make a statement for the people that are going to be in Invicta 24, July 15th, about what they can expect to see from you in the octagon, what would that statement be?
Well, as you said, I really don't like talking shit. I will say that you pay to watch and see what happens. I expect this is going to be a pretty active fight. It's not just going to be boring rolling like they'll expect, probably. And I'm excited about this matchup. I think they did a good job, and we're expecting us to both be grapplers. And I hope I get to show my talent on the ground as well as everywhere else. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be exciting, and it'll either be a fast finish or a very exciting, active fight.
Yeah. Well, to me, I think I got two contenders for fight of the night, and being in Pam Sorensen and now you on the show. I'm truly honored for you taking the time out of your day, especially on a holiday, to join me on my show. And I apologize for me not filling up to par today, but as I said, the show goes on whether you feel good or not, and you know that's how life is. If I perplexed any question in a wrong manner, I apologize. Like I said, I'm not feeling tremendous tonight, but what I usually like to do first and foremost is hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, any family, any sponsors, any social media sites, or just anything you would like to add to the program? The floor is yours, my friend.
All right. First off, thank you, Don. I appreciate this opportunity and you coming to the gym, taking pictures the other day. That was great as well, and I appreciate it. I want to thank my sponsors, MMA Roadhog, just a few of my neighbors, honestly, who have helped out. I want to thank Persuasive Apparel, Hayabusa sponsoring me now. I appreciate all the gear that they've allowed me to get, and their stuff is great. Dethridge Builders, let's see, the Gillespie Concrete. All of my sponsors have just been great, and I'll have them on my poster fight night too if anybody wants to see those. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Miranda Fear the Maverick. And I want to thank Springfield Fight Club and all my training partners and coaches there. Brett Welcome, who's my main jiu-jitsu coach. Gabe Wook, who's also been a great jiu-jitsu coach for me leading up to this fight, and all my others. Nathan Stamberski, Zach, for being part of Springfield Fight Club and allowing us to be associated with his striking. And to all my training partners who have helped me leading up to this fight and will continue to over the next week and a half or so.
And I know another friend of yours wanted me to wish you good luck, and that being Marco Hutch, the Afro Samurai. You know, he's a tremendous attribute in life, and he really respects you a lot. And, you know, he's looking for great things from you, too. And I think it's going to be a tremendous night for you, you know, whether it be a W or a lesson learned. You know, I can't predict the future. You know, I'm very proud of you for what you've done for the sport and the avenue you've given, you know, the younger generation to look up to. You truly are a tremendous athlete, my friend, and I thank you for taking the time to join me this evening.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to have to thank him, too, and I appreciate all your good wishes and the things that you said about me. Try to be respectful in every way I can, and good luck to all the other fighters that are going out there. Thanks for being there and taking the time to interview me.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, my friend. My show is yours. You have a good night, and God bless.
Thank you. Good night. Have a happy 4th of July.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Miranda Maverick. Like I said, I apologize. I'm not filling up the par tonight, and, you know, I'm one that believes the show must go on, so I can't even talk tonight. With that being said, we're going to jump to the legacy flyweight champion, Andrea KGB Lee, if she answers her phone. If you know the track history, Andrea tends to forget, and then I have to get Andy, and then she'll show up for the show. But we'll give her...
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3184.
We'll take a brief time out. I'll get a hold of Andy, and we'll get Andre on the show, I promise. Be right back. I have some bad news. Andrea KGB Lee just texted me and says out of her control. She's with family, and it's taking a little bit longer than she expected, and she wants to come on again. I promise that we'll get her on Thursday night before her fight, which kind of actually works out well for me, considering I'm not feeling the best in the world. But, Andrea, this is the last time, my friend, you do this every show. With that being said, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Without you, I wouldn't exist. And to the listeners, I apologize. Andrea got caught up. On that note, I just want to wish everybody a happy 4th. You have a good night, and God bless.
I just took a nice hit, now I'm feeling hyper. Chilling with my vipers, most of us delinquents. Frequently tripping up your mind with the sequence. Rappers getting seasick, they can't keep up with the flow. Yo, did you know I've been floating to the pinnacle? See his throat choking, your squad's embarrassed. Leave your doors open.